Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 22, where we hear our Lord's words, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The way of unbelief is to discredit Jesus, find fault with him, or attack him. And thus the Pharisees plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. This is nothing new. In this political season, this election season, we see this all the time as everybody tries to entangle everybody else in what he says. But Jesus was on to these Pharisees. And the Word incarnate would not be entangled in his words. He was not caught off guard by their flattery, though they did speak the truth. Jesus did teach the way of God truthfully. He didn't care about other people's opinions. He was not swayed by appearances. So rather than give them what they wanted, something to use against him, he gave them what they needed. A lesson on the fourth commandment and the first commandment. Now the question they asked really was rather clever. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? By such a question, they thought they had Jesus trapped. For if he says that they should pay taxes to Caesar, or in particular, this particular tax, the crowds would be upset because this tax reminded them that they were under Rome's thumb, and this rankled them to no end. But if Jesus says that they should not pay the tax, then the Herodians would certainly report him so that he could be arrested for sedition or treason and dealt with accordingly. It looked as if he were trapped with no way out. But God's wisdom is greater than man's. So Jesus told them he knew what they were up to. "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" Jesus was rather direct and certainly truthful, just as they had said. They were indeed hypocrites, saying one thing but not believing it, flattering him while all the while intending and determined to destroy him. Beloved, God would have us beware of flattery too. For all too often it will do us more harm than good. It may puff us up and lead us to pride, or otherwise distract us from the truth. Now, instead of directly answering their question, Jesus asked for the coin that was used to pay the tax. Taking it, he asked them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" Well, they couldn't help but reply, "Caesar's," for the coin bore his image. Then Jesus told them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." What an answer! They had asked an either-or question, and Jesus gave them a both-and answer. But what did he mean by his question? Well, he certainly meant that we should pay taxes to those who govern or rule over us. After all, God instituted government for our welfare. It's his gift. It's his gift to us to keep peace and to serve justice. Those who govern or rule do so because God has placed them in place for his purposes. Whether they realize it or not, just like Cyrus didn't realize what God had said so many years before he was born. And even as Jesus told Pilate. And thus, Paul tells us in Romans, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Since God has established government, we are to submit to its authority. We are to obey, respect, honor, and pray for those in authority over us, as hard as it may be to do. We are to faithfully give our government all that it requires of us, be it our money, our faithful godly vote, our obedience to the law, our military service, or even our lives, if necessary. And if we fail to obey our government in all godly things, if we fail to pay our due taxes, if we fail to pray for our leaders, if we fail to carry out our duties and responsibilities as citizens, then we have sinned not just against man, but against God himself. For rendering unto Caesar is also rendering unto God. Indeed, the only time we can and must disobey the government is when it demands that we disobey God. And then we must disobey it and also be prepared to suffer the consequences. But God will watch over us under such circumstances as well and bless us in them, even as he did Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they refused to bow down or pray to an image of the king. And though he may not save our lives as he did theirs, he will be with us and bless us nonetheless. And yet, rendering to God involves so much more than paying some money. After all, there is no pew tax as there used to be in some places. Besides, God's picture and inscription is not found on money. Rather, if we apply what Jesus said about the coin, we find that we should render everything to God, especially ourselves. Indeed, we should surrender all to Him, for it is all His anyway. Moses tells us, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it." Now, certainly this does include all our material possessions. But more to the point, we should render unto God our very selves. After all, man was created in God's image and likeness, full of love for the other and not for the self. Man was created holy and blameless. But when man sinned, that image became so corrupted and tarnished that we no longer reflect the image of God. Therefore, none of us lives up to God's image and renders unto God the things that are God's. We have all fallen far short of His glorious expectations. But God, in His mercy, sent His only Son into this world to redeem it. Jesus is the image and likeness of God because He is God, unlike Caesar, who only claimed to be divine. But Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus has taken on our image by becoming flesh. He didn't just appear as a man. He really was a man, born of a woman. And Jesus has not fallen short of His Father's will at all. He has fulfilled every expectation of God for us. And He has also paid the debt of our failure and disobedience. As the image or icon of His Father, the Son of God has rendered Himself unto God for you, for me, and for all people. That's what His death on the cross is all about. And as the very image of God in human flesh hung on that accursed tree, there was also an inscription which read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The one hanging on that cross was the very King of Kings who holds Caesar and Pilate and Herod and all earthly authorities in His righteous, omnipotent hand. Jesus had taken the sin of the world into His body, made it His own, and suffered death for it. And yet, that icon of God did not remain in the grave. He rose again in the flesh. The body of Christ which hung on that cross is the same body which rose from the dead. That same body is given to us in His Holy Supper, along with His very body, along with His very blood. And that same body will return in glory at the end of the age to usher all who believe in Him into the eternal wedding banquet. Thus, we do owe our very selves to God. For the image of His beloved Son has been restored in us through the waters of holy baptism. At the font, The image of God is restored as our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. God has inscribed His very name on us as the water was applied in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And thus, by grace, through the forgiveness of sins, we have been conformed to the image of God's only begotten Son. We have been sacramentally crucified with Him, buried with Him, and resurrected from the death of sin with Him. And one day, we will be resurrected from the grave itself to celebrate with Him. And even now, we do bear His image. And so we render to God the things that are God's by believing in His Son whom He sent, loving Him above all things, putting our trust in Him alone, and yes, paying our taxes. For Jesus truly has rendered to Caesar and to God full obedience, so that you have full forgiveness and life forever with Him. And that's why we also learn to pray. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me is my hope, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.